king was out walking with his retinue when he caught sight of a puppy. All puppies are delightful, but this one drew him like a magnet. "Bring that puppy to me." And so the puppy was brought. And as he held it in his arms, "Oh, I'd like to take this puppy home with me to remind me of the sweetness of life." So the owner was persuaded to give her puppy up. But that wasn't hard. This was the king, after all. What an honour. And what a price. And so the king took the puppy home to his palace, and whenever he felt down, the puppy was brought to lift his spirits. But no puppy remains that way forever. Soon it was a young dog, and not quite so delightful or so cute. The king found himself less charmed. This dog seemed to want a different kind of attention, like being taken for walks. And in time, the king called for him less and less. And yet his instructions remained, "Just have him ready for whenever I need him." So the dog was never taken for walks, just in case the king needed him in that moment. And a dog who's never taken for walks becomes quite the handful. Soon he was wearing out one guard after another, until the toughest of them took him in hand. So now, whenever the king would call for him, the dog was a miserable sight. This guard knew about discipline, you see, but not about loving and caring for a dog. So the dog no longer inspired the king, rather the opposite. "Another thing I've destroyed," he said. "Take him out of my sight." But because this was unclear, did the king want him in his sight at some point? The dog was just put away in a dungeon and left there with no one to look after him. He was fed and watered through a hatch, but because it wasn't clear if the king would want to see him again at some point, he was always kept in a state of readiness and yet neglect. Because the king never asked to see him at all. But a dog who's neglected like this becomes a wild and untamed thing. Now no guard wanted anything to do with him, and he was moved lower and lower in the dungeons until he was in the darkest, dankest dungeon of all. And one night, the dog started to howl and whine. And his howling and whining reached the ears of the king. "What is that dreadful noise?" And by now, no one could even remember which dungeon the dog was in. And the howling and whining got worse and worse. It drove the king to distraction. "Find that dog!" And eventually, they found him. In that dark, dank dungeon. But now, nobody could find the key. And all the while, the dog's whining and howling just got worse and worse. It drove the king out of his mind. "Will somebody set that dog free?" And eventually, someone found the key. But when they opened the door, the dog was now so deranged as to be completely unapproachable. He needed to be kept on a chain, and even then kept at bay with a big stick. This is your dog, Majesty. And the king was so stricken with remorse that he went down on his knees and he approached the dog with utter contrition. Even as his guards warned him off, he walked on his knees to that poor, slavering, grovelling dog. And he said, "I am so sorry that I've so neglected you." And in that moment, their eyes met. And so sincere was the king's apology that immediately the dog stopped whining and barking and snarling and slavering and just fell at the king's knees and lay there whimpering. And from that moment on, the king lavished all love and care upon the dog. That moment's glance had transformed him too, you see. He could see at once that there was something very special about this dog, although he didn't know what it was. But that one glance was enough. From now on, the dog was treated better than the king's own children. The finest cuts of meat, quarters befitting royalty. And every day, walks with the king around the gardens of his palace. Short walks at first, and then longer and longer until they were ranging around the full extent of the palace grounds. And every day, the king would brush him at the end of the walk and lavish him with such love and attention that eventually all the years of neglect had fallen away. The dog's coat shone, his eyes were bright, and he bounded to his master whenever he saw him. But now, just walking in the palace grounds was not enough. The dog wanted to go further. He'd pull at the lead, urging the king out of the royal gardens and into the countryside beyond. And so now, the walks took longer and longer. Soon the king would be packing a night bag. And still the dog would resist returning home so soon. And so the king would walk further and further with his dog into the hills and then the distant mountains, ranging over his entire kingdom. He'd leave the queen in charge and be gone for weeks. And then months and months. And this was when the king began to change. Every time he'd return from one of these trips, he looked more and more wild. His clothes would be ripped and torn and snagged with thorns, and his hair would be matted and full of twigs. And every time, his servants would clean him up, but even after bathing and washing and trimming his beard and cutting his hair and putting him back in his fine robes, there would still be something wild about him. He'd eat in a rough and unrefined way, because out there in the mountains with his dog, they'd become a pack, hunting together, eating together. And the queen said, "You eat like an animal. I can't let our children sit at the table with you." And so he wouldn't stay long at the palace. Before she knew it, he'd be off again, into the wilds with his dog. Further and further from the palace, hunting with his dog, eating with his dog, becoming wild and strong and fierce like his dog. And in all of this, he was remembering who he really was. A remembrance which was so far from the cultivated little royal prince that he'd been trained to be, and the dutiful king that he'd become. All of that fell away as he became once more something wild and untamed. Until one day, there were two dogs returning from the latest sojourn in the mountains. The only way they could tell which one had been the king was from the belt that still hung around his waist. But that was all. So now, which one was the king? The dog with the belt or the dog without the belt? Did it matter anymore? It seemed they were just the same thing now. And the queen was distraught. "Where's my husband gone? I didn't marry a dog." And the royal children, the prince and the princesses, they were crying, "Where did our father go?" And everyone found it so distressing that they had the two dogs put away in the dungeons. And they fought down there, and they howled at night, and the queen and the prince and the princesses couldn't bear to hear them. So they banished them to a far-off outpost at the end of the kingdom and tried to forget that they ever had a husband, a father. But at night, when the moon was full, a ghostly howling would arise around the palace that seemed to arrive on the wind. And everyone there would tremble to hear it, none more so than the queen and the prince and the princesses, because they knew who it was. Until they couldn't bear it anymore. And they had the two dogs brought back from the outpost.
"Oh, what are we to do with them?" said the princesses.
"We should kill the one that's not father. That's the one that started all this," said the prince.
But by now, the belt had gone and they couldn't work out which one was which. They all tried, but they couldn't distinguish the dog that had always been a dog from the dog that had been the king. And the queen could see the tragedy that had befallen her family, and she took matters into her own hands. She had the two dogs given the finest quarters again, and she took them both out for walks around the palace grounds. And slowly she began to discern which one had been her husband. The little quirks and the habits, she could spot them. And then this dog she took with her to the river when the moon was full, and she pleaded, "Please, come back. Your children need you. I need you. We miss you and we want you with us again. And the dog whispered, if I were to return, I would never again want to forget who I really am. That I'm not a man at all, nor indeed am I a dog, but that I'm a wild and free spirit, only here on this earth for a short spell. I cannot bear to forget again. I will not do that to myself.
Then how will you remember?
I don't know. But I must have my dog with me at all times. Maybe then I will always remember. And so he became a man again and was inseparable from his dog, even when sleeping, which the queen found most disagreeable. But still she put up with it, if only to keep her husband. And quite to his surprise, the king never again forgot that he was a wild and free spirit. Because if there was ever the slightest chance of forgetting, he would once again walk out with his dog into the mountains and live again as a dog, only to return even more clear-eyed as a man, even more strongly rooted in his true identity as a wild and free spirit. And I was there too. I was. I'd been walking through many kingdoms in search of a good story when I came upon this kingdom and this king. And when I heard the many legends about him in the taverns of his city, I could hardly believe my luck. King that became a dog? What a wonderful story! But I tried to tell this story, and it never quite worked. I told it over and over again, but the meaning of it always eluded me and my audience. So after many failed attempts, I returned to that kingdom and I sought an audience with that king in his palace, and I asked him what to do. And he just smiled when he heard my story, and he whispered in the ear of one of his guards, who went out and a few moments later came back in holding the most adorable puppy you ever saw. And the king said, take this puppy home and take good care of him. And even when he becomes a dog, you must keep providing him with what he needs, even if that involves you doing things you might never otherwise have done. And I took him home and I asked myself, what does this puppy need? And puppies are very good at letting their masters know what they need. And slowly, I learned. And the more I listened, the more I was able to tell this story. There now, I've told it again. And for once, it makes sense and seems to hang together. I hope it made sense to you too.